Yashodanandana Vrajana Ranjana Namunati Ravanachari Yamunati Ravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Tare Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Tare Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamunate Ravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava
Om Shri Prabhupada ki All glories to assembled devotees All glories to assembled devotees All glories to assembled devotees All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Jaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Mudirayet Shrinvata Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Vidyantastoi Badrani Shrutinoti Saratsatam నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతే ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైశ్రుతి ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య నానాంజనాశలాకయా చక్షురుమ్మీలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః వాంఛాకల్పతరూభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యేవ చ పతితానాం పుణ్యేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః నమాం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామీనితి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణే జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసది గౌరభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే
హరే కృష్ణ. వీఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం చాప్టర్ 20 టైటిల్స్ ద స్ట్రక్చర్ ఆఫ్ ద యూనివర్స్. టుడేస్ వర్స్ ఈస్ 18. తదా కృతో తాద్ బహి క్రౌంచ ద్వీపో ద్విగుణ సుమానేన క్షీరోదేన ఫలిత ఉపకల్పో వృతో యత కుషద్వీపో గృతోదేన యస్మిన్ క్రౌంచో నమ పర్వతరాజ ద్వీపనామ నిర్వతక ఆస్తే. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ బై డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఏసీ భక్తివంశీల ప్రభుపాద్ కి. ఔట్సైడ్ ద ఓషన్ ఆఫ్ క్లారిఫైడ్ బటర్ ఈస్ అనదర్ ఐలాండ్ నోన్ యాజ్ క్రౌంచ ద్వీప విచ్ హ్యాస్ అ విడ్త్ ఆఫ్ 1.6 మిలియన్ యోజనాస్ 12,800 miles, twice the width of the ocean of clarified butter. As Kushadvipa is surrounded by an ocean of clarified butter, Kraunchadvipa is surrounded by an ocean of milk as broad as the island itself. On Kraunchadvipa there is a great mountain known as Krauncha, from which the island takes its name. There is no purport to this verse. Although the vegetables living on the slopes of Mount Krauncha were attacked and devastated by the weapons of Kartikeya, the mountain has become fearless because it is always bathed on all sides by the ocean of milk protected by Varuna Deva. The ruler of this island was another son of Maharaj Priyavrat. His name was Ghritaprastha and he was a very learned scholar. He also divided his island among his 7 sons. After dividing the island into 7 parts, named according to the names of his sons, Ghritaprastha Maharaj completely retired from family life and took shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, the soul of all souls who has all auspicious qualities. Thus he attained perfection. Verse 21. The sons of Maharaj Ghritaprastha were named Ama, Madhuruha, Meghaprastha, Sudama, Brajishta, Lohitana and Vanaspati. In their island there are 7 mountains which indicates the boundaries of the 7 tracts of land. There are also 7 rivers. The mountains are named Shukla, Vartamana, Bhojana, Upabarhina, Nanda, Nandana and Sarvatobhadra. The rivers are named Abhaya, Amrutauga, Aryaka, Tirthavati, Rupavati, Pavitravati and Shukla. Verse 22. The inhabitants of Kraunchadvipa are divided into 4 castes called Purushas, Rishabhas, Dravinas and Devakas. Using the waters of those sanctified rivers, they worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by offering a palm full of water at the lotus feet of Varuna, the demigod who has a form of water. Purport. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Apo Mayaha Asmayam, with joined palms, the inhabitants of the various sections of Crown Chadvipa offer the sanctified waters of the rivers to a deity made of stone or iron. Hare Krishna. So, first of all, I beg for the blessings of all of you. I'm not really qualified, and as I told last time, I'm just covering until Jai Jagannath Prabhu and Nityan Pran Prabhu come back to the temple. And I believe Jai Jagannath Prabhu is coming in a week or so. That's what I heard. So today's discussion is about Crown Chadvipa. We discussed about Kushadvipa. These are different islands in the universe. So Daita Prabhu previously showed a video, and Acharnishta Prabhu also showed a video where there were concentric lands, and then they were followed by oceans made of different. We discussed about oceans of salt water. We discussed about oceans of liquor, and we've discussed about oceans of in Kushadvipa there were oceans of clarified butter, which is ghee, and now there is ocean of milk. So an interesting property to be noticed in these verses is whichever ocean you are surrounded by and wherever you are located. Firstly, the demigods were existing. The same demigods that we hear of in this realm, where there is nothing called ocean of ghee or ocean of liquor, the same demigods exist in these far-off lands. I mean, you can consider these lands as, if you may, if we read about Gulliver's Travels or about Lilliputians, something so out of the world, but still the same principles operate. So who is Kartikeya? Kartikeya is the son of Lord Shiva, and Varuna Deva is god of water. Similarly, the principles of bhakti are also pretty much the same. In fact, some personalities from this place also rule over there. Where did we hear about Maharaj Priyavrat? In which canto did we hear about fifth Priyavrat? One of them, yes, so fifth. Yeah. So is it also mentioned in fourth canto? I wasn't aware. So it's mentioned in fifth canto, first chapter, where the entire life of Maharaj Priyavrat was given. And perhaps the beginnings might be mentioned in the fourth canto, last chapter. So Maharaj Priyavrat is a very interesting personality for both renunciants and also householders. If time permits, I will read some sections from his life, because we're discussing about his son who is ruling this island. So he is started out as a renunciant, because that's the natural thing to do. You are not this body, and this material world is not your permanent home. So why be so attached to this place and the duties and the rules of this place? So he started as a renunciant. So his father, Swambhu Manu, is concerned. We have to make sure this world is populated, and we have to make sure things run. So you basically come back and rule the world. Leaders like you should set examples. They shouldn't go to forests, otherwise there'll be no person to follow. And Maharaj Priyavrat wasn't convinced. And then Brahma himself came, and Brahma gave his own orientation lecture. So finally, Maharaj Priyavrat, although he wasn't interested, he accepted the service. So what could be learned from this is the mood of service. It's not that, yes, it is good that you have such the services that you like and you do things that are favorable to your well-being, physical, mental, and spiritual. And that's the platform at which most of us actually should operate. But at the same time, what separates star-like devotees with the moon-like devotee is, a moon-like devotee is like this. So he thinks of what his seniors or senior devotees expect him to do. So Maharaj Priyavrat knows that for his own spiritual life, it's better to be in forest and practice and be renounced. But because Brahma and Swayambhu Manu wanted him to take the service of being a king and producing sons and all, he accepted a householder life and got attached to his wife. Just like, because in householder life you have to be, you can't be a renunciant and have a householder life. He ruled a kingdom which to renunciants it might, like Lord Chaitanya wasn't even speaking to kings, because kings have this Ishwara Baba. You have to have this feeling of dominion over the subjects, otherwise it's not possible to rule. If you feel that, I mean, I'm a soul, he's a soul, he's anyways going through his own birth, old age, disease, death, and he's experiencing his own karma. If he's suffering, that's because of his karma. If he's happy, that's because of his karma. What have a king can't think like that. King should feel like a father. I mean, if a son gets spanked by some stranger, mother doesn't think it's karma, so let him go through it. We see in devotees, we see even in temple that it can become a big thing if you touch a kid. So similarly, a king is like that. So he produced 7 sons. 3 of them accepted retired life, and 4 of them became kings like him. And one of the king is Ghritaprashtha. And just like Ghritaprashtha did here, or more appropriately, just like his father did there, after some time, he retired from his responsibilities. It's not like the modern day politicians, like once they got their chair, they try their best to keep their chair. He retired thinking it as abominable. It's not like, it's also not like the false, there's a difference between the neophyte sense of renunciation, where he is afraid of getting attached. So he thinks that if I get immersed in this, I might get attached to it. It's not like that. He already finished his attachments. It's like, it's almost like stool for me. Who gets attached to stool? Who wants to preserve whatever they pass? No one. That example is given in Bhagavatam many places for that reason. So it's not like he thinks it's diamond and he's afraid that he will get attached to diamond, and that's why he's giving in charity. They consider it as tool, that no one needs them, and he's renounced like that. So similarly, Ghritaprastha Maharaj was also like that. He completely retired from family life and took shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. This again goes to show whether you could be a Upakurvana Brahmachari or a Naishtika Brahmachari, but same for everyone. But at the end, you should be renounced. You should focus your life entirely on self-realization. If it comes at the platform of Ghritaprastha or Priyavrata, where one is naturally renounced, when he thinks this is like stool, that's great. But otherwise, at least one should be renounced like Dhritarashtra. Like Dhritarashtra realized through the teachings of his brother Vidura that it's so wrong. I mean, I'm so attached to these people. It's very inappropriate. So it's not like he got detached. It's not like
He didn't feel any attachment. He knows that he is attached to living in the kingdom and receiving services from his from the Pandavas, who killed actually his own sons. He knows he likes that actually, but he also knows how bad that is through Vidura's lectures. So that's another platform of renunciation. So at the end of the life, we should, at the minimum, like Dhritarashtra, but if possible, we can lead our life in such a way that when we grow old, by that time we feel a natural renunciation from the material world. So those are the examples. That's one reason why there are more stories about kings than who were renunciants all their life in Bhagavatam, like Bharata Maharaj, Priyavrata, Dhruva, Prahlad. And similarly, if you count the number of Mahajans, there are 12 Mahajans. I believe 7 of them are Grihasthas and 5 of them are complete renunciants. But none of them are, by Grihastha, I mean, it's not like the modern day Grihastha where one's idea of retirement is to save as much as possible until 65 and enjoy with that money till 65. The Grihastha is where one, he only stays in family life until his elder son is able to stand on his own legs, or if he has a daughter, if he has only daughters, she gets married away, and then that's all. Let me just focus on spiritual life. That's a Grihastha. So Bhagavatam is full of examples that we could get inspired from as far as renunciation is concerned. So on the topic of renunciation, another aspect of renunciation and why renunciation is encouraged, especially in our parampara, is renunciation is one of the 6 opulences that Krishna also possesses. And it is natural for people to get attracted. Opulence means that which attracts you. So going by the, just by looking at the people that are inspiring the devotees in this room, either through Diksha or Shiksha, take Rompath Swami, Radhanath Swami, Bhaktichara Swami, Gopal Krishna Goswami, Hridayanand Goswami, Bhaktividyapurna Maharaj. I might be missing some names, but these are all, what's the prefix for all of them? Swamis. So it's a, it's not just for yourself, but we are in a mission of preaching. So Prabhupada's mission, said books are the basis, preaching is the essence. Or what's the purity is the essence, right? And preaching is, purity is a force, preaching is the essence, yeah. So on that topic, today is a disappearance day of Ramanujacharya. We might not know, but his main contribution, he has a lot to do with the fact that we have so many sannyasis in ISKCON today. So Lord Chaitanya, previously sannyas was only there in the Mayavad Sampradaya. So previously when Lord Chaitanya had to take sannyas, he took sannyas from a Mayavadi guru, but still preached bhakti. So gradually what happened was the sannyas ashram wasn't there so much. There was only Babaji's. So Bhakti Siddhanta wanted to revive sannyas ashram. And so he took example of Sri Sampradaya and accepted sannyas based on how there are sannyasis in Sri Sampradaya. So Ramanujacharya is one of the leading renunciants in the Sri Sampradaya. And his life is very exemplary. I do want to make a couple of comments on Sri Sampradaya. So there are a couple of incidents in my that I heard about personally that I feel devotees should be cautious. Devotees should be more careful while dealing with bona fide sampradayas, but not Gaudiya Vaishnava sampradaya, but either Sri Sampradaya or other Rudra Sampradaya or Kumara Sampradaya. So once Radhanand Maharaj, as he does, is famous for taking devotees to yatras. So once he took devotees to a yatra in a South Indian, I think it's Udipi or some, or it might be Srirangam. And because Radhanand Maharaj is so, he's such a nice devotee and everyone likes him. So one of the main persons of the Sri Sampradaya came to lecture along with him. And I think Maharaj wasn't there after some time, so he was, the Sri Sampradaya Guru was there by himself. And one devotee, must be a very neophyte devotee, asked a question to that Sri Sampradaya Guru. You know, you quote a lot from Bhagavatam, and Bhagavatam clearly says, Etaschamsak Kalapamsham Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone comes from Krishna, Narayan, Lord Ram. So why do you worship them? Why don't you worship Krishna? So later on, Govind Prabhu, who is the right hand of Radhanand Maharaj, went to Radhanand Maharaj and told him. Radhanand Maharaj became very grave. He said, I feel so bad that I didn't fall dead after hearing this. It's a very... we had to be very sensitive. Another thing is, one of my friend in India, he went to visit Sri Vaishnava place. I'm not sure which place it is, but he was basically trying to preach them the same thing. Krishna is better than Narayan and Ram, so you should come there. And the Sri Sampradaya person said, Das Hosmi, yes, I'm your servant, yes, sure. If you're saying it, must be true. And it touched his heart. So so he went into the mood of, let me preach to him, let me convince him and elevate him. And that devotee was in the mood of, I'm his servant, so I should just hear from him, like that. So we should be broad-minded enough to be able to respect all Vaishnavas. And it's bona fide to worship any Vishnu Tattva. So that's a related point I want to bring up. I also wanted to... Ramanujacharya's life is full of stories of his disciples showing exemplary qualities that are applicable to all of us, because all of us are disciples or aspiring disciples, and Prabhupada encouraged all of us to be good disciples of bona fide gurus. I'll try to tell some stories, and if time permits, I'll come back to Priyavrat Maharaj. So, one such disciple is Dasharathi. Dasharathi is a very... he's a disciple of Ramacharya, but he has read so many scriptures, he's already considered a very good scholar in Vaishnava scriptures in South India. But as you know, the mood of disciple is Tatvidde Pranipatena Pariprashnena Sevaya Upadeshyantite Jnanam Gnayana Sadvadarshan. Although you are very advanced, you don't think that you know everything. You go to Guru and inquire about the depths. So once he went to Ramanujacharya and very seriously asked him, I want to know the meaning of the verse Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Raja Ahantvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishyami Masuchaha. But the mood is that it's not that he doesn't know it, he can analyze, he can speak on each word for one single day of that verse, but he wants to understand the depths of what surrender means and what exclusive surrender to Krishna means and all. So Ramanujacharya was able to answer or something, but at the same time, Atulai, who was the daughter of Ramanujacharya, had many gurus, shiksha gurus, and one such guru is Mahapurna. So Atulai, the daughter of Mahapurna, came Mahapurna married me to this person and family. I'm in a tough situation now that Mahapurna couldn't solve, and he said you could solve it for him. He said, my in-laws are torturing me. Daily I have to do pot washing, and I have to bring water of a mile away. The river is a mile away, and I have to come back, and I have to do floor cleaning, house floor cleaning, you could say. And those mine laws always complain. They say, why did your father not send a proper cook or a proper servant? Why did they send you? You're so useless. Like that. So Ramanujacharya told to Atulai, pointing to Dasharath, you don't worry, this Brahmana will go with you and he will do everything you're doing. So you don't need to be tortured. Let him do everything for you. So Dasharath didn't say a word. I mean, this is Guru, so Guru ordered me. And he went. For one whole year, he was carrying pots of water, 1 mile walking down and 1 mile walking up. He was cooking for materialists. I mean, the way they are dealing to someone like Atulai, who is the daughter of a very great Vaishnava, although they might be know about Krishna and Ram, basically they are materialistic people. Cooking for materialistic people. A great scholarly disciple of Ramanujacharya was doing that. He was doing all kinds of menial activities. He was cleaning the floors, washing the vessels, cleaning the clothes and all. He was doing that for one whole year. After 1 year, there was a Vaishnava preacher or speaker. He was speaking on some Vaishnava scripture, but apparently he is not properly edified. So his lectures had a tinge of Mayavad, impersonalism, and Dasharathi knows that he is in this humble mood of a servant under the instruction of his guru, but he couldn't tolerate, because Mayavad is basically blasphemy of the Lord. He couldn't tolerate that. So he spoke, sir, actually what you're speaking is not exactly correct. It's not proper. And this person shouted at him, who are you? You're just a cook. Go do some pot washing. So Dasharathi then very humbly, very pleasantly, in a scholarly manner, presented the scriptures in a very appropriate way and convinced this particular so-called Vaishnava speaker. And that impressed him a lot. And all the villagers were also wondering, who is this great person? And finally, based on how he described his scriptures and his sources, they could understand that he was Dasharathi, the great scholar. Everyone knows Dasharathi's name. He was so popular around that time that it's like everyone knows Shakespeare during Shakespeare's time, but it's not always possible that someone knows how Shakespeare looks. But if Shakespeare starts speaking his poetry, one knows, this is Shakespeare. Could be like that. This is a similar analogy, just to make you understand. So all the villagers were requesting, you are Dasharathi, you can be a speaker for entire village, you can teach us about Krishna consciousness to all of us. Why are you doing this? He said, my guru ordered me to do this and I'm doing this. So the entire village went to Ramanujacharya and requested him. He is such a great scholar. And he is cooking at a materialist house. This is not proper. Please take him back. So Ramanujacharya was so pleased that Dasharathi was able to do such a humble service for one whole year. And that's actually a true aspect of surrender. Surrender means, one aspect is, you think what is good for you, but Krishna or his representatives say, not that, do this, and you still do that. That is an aspect of surrender. So Ramanacharya was pleased that Dasharatha not only did it, but even though he was known as Dasharatha, he didn't want to move out. He wanted to just stick there. So Ramanacharya came with all the villagers back to this person's village and personally brought him back. That's one example. So is it okay if I tell a couple more pastimes? So Ramanacharya is another Shiksha Guru of Ramanacharya is Goshtipurna. And Goshtipurna's spiritual master is Yamunacharya. So Yamunacharya, Prabhupada quotes Yamunacharya often in relation to the verse of whenever I think of sensuous desires. So that verse is very famous. He basically feels very remorseful, or what's the exact translation? Actually, yeah, spits at the thought. Yes. So that's Yamunacharya, just to give a context of how he is related to what we are reading in Prabhupada's books. And so Yamunacharya's another disciple was Maladhar. So Maladhar is very learned in certain Vaishnava scriptures that Goshtipurna thinks Ramanacharya should also know. So Goshtipurna went to Maladhar. So Ramanacharya went to Maladhar. He was learning a lot. And at one point, Maladhar said something. And Ramanacharya said, Ramanacharya gave an extension or a different way of looking at it. And Maladhar found it very inappropriate. I'm like the godbrother of your guru and you are telling me a different explanation. So he just left. And he went to Goshtipurna. And so Maladhar was... he basically said he was unhappy. But Goshtipurna said, Ramanacharya knows the heart of Yamunacharya. So when Ramanacharya speaks, sometimes even I listen, because it is as if like Yamunacharya is speaking. So this is what Goshtipurna said to Maladhar. And so Maladhar went back and started teaching again. And when Ramanacharya again interrupted, at this time he didn't object, he was just listening. So in this way, Ramanacharya was like an exemplar devotee. He's not just one devotee, he was a gem or the moon of all the Sri Vaishnavas, seniors, juniors, equals included. He was so great that the entire South India considers him as the leader of Sri Vaishnavism. And his fame was spreading all over South India. So, and Srirangam was the seat of South India. And the head priest of Srirangam was threatened by this competition, because now people are not coming to him for pujas and advice. They are all going to Ramanacharya. They are not giving him much donation these days. So he became very envious, because as Bhakti Siddhanta says, if you are not doing proper sadhana and if your psychology is not spiritual, you will start treating deities as stones, and you will use them to break nuts. Might not be in a literal sense, but in a figurative sense, you're using them to get your food. You don't perhaps use the deities just to actually break your nuts, but what he means is there is no difference really if you're using the deities to showcase so that you can get proper food. That's how the conception is really. That's very abominable. So, but this Sri Vaishnava, this Sri Rangam head priest was somehow like that. So he was very envious. He was so envious that he invited Ramanuja to his house. And to his wife, who is very obedient but of the same mentality, he told, this is a poison. It can kill 10 people at one time. You know what to do. So, a wife, being a wife, actually mixed that with food. She was going to serve Ramanujacharya. But when Ramanujacharya came, his face was so gentle, he was so humble. He looked very saintly, that she couldn't just do that. So she served food as per the order of his husband, but said, please don't eat this, you will die. So Ramanujacharya was very shocked hearing that. He went to Goshtipurna and said, his mentality was, what is the anartha in me? If someone sees a Vaishnava, one's Krishna consciousness should be elevated ideally, but what is the anartha in me that this person is feeling envious? How can I improve? That is Ramanujacharya's heart. He wasn't like, there is this scooter ad in India. It's called Owner's Pride, Neighbor's Envy. So if others are feeling envious of us, we might often feel proud that I have something that others can feel. But Ramanujacharya's heart was, what is so bad about how I do my service and all, that this person is not feeling Krishna conscious, but he's feeling envious. And this person is having such a bad problem. Envy is such a big problem. How can I help him? What can I do so that he gets freed from envy and focus on service to Krishna? That was his mood. So next day when Ramanujacharya went to Sri Rangam, this person was already slightly, he wasn't angry at his wife because he knows wives are women who are soft nature, like Draupadi. So he was not upset, but he said, I have to take this into my own hands now. So he mixed the poison into Charanamrit. The Charanamrit we drink every day, washing the lotus with the Lord. Ramanujacharya knew it. You can easily tell. But his thinking was, this is offered to the lotus feet of the Lord. I can't really refuse it. So he just took the Charanamrit. After a few moments, his limbs were shaking. And this pujari thought, symptoms of poison are not working. But those were actually ecstatic symptoms that Lord Chaitanya experiences, like limbs shivering and having goosebumps and the hairs standing on the head. It's interesting. I looked up what goosebumps means a couple of weeks back. So goosebumps are things you get when you are experiencing an intense emotion. It could be deep sorrow, it could be deep, it could be intense joy. But that's what people experience at the stage of bhava, because they feel an intense connection with Krishna. So next day, he thought his job is over, but then people were singing the glories of Ramanujacharya very loudly, more loudly than before. Because now he displayed these symptoms and everyone knows that he's a pure devotee and we should all be taking more association of him. But seeing this, actually the head priest's mind got purified, his heart got purified, and he felt very remorseful. He started beating himself and punishing himself so much with his hands that he started bleeding and fell at the feet of Ramanujacharya. And Ramanujacharya placed his hands at his head and said, I forgive you, you become my disciple. like that. So this is an example of a very extreme kind of disciple. There are also other disciples, like there is this one Yajna Murthy, and he is a Digvijay Pandit. So Digvijay Pandit is not a name, it's a title. There are many Digvijay Pandits. There is a Digvijay Pandit who came to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya defeated him in front of Ganges. And there's Digvijay Pandit who came to Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami didn't want to debate him, but because he was offensive, Jiva Goswami went and actually defeated him. So there's a pastime how Jiva Goswami was upset, and then, so there's a transcendental pastime. So this Digvijay Pandit was also like the Digvijay Pandit that came to Rupa Goswami. So Ramanujacharya first said, I mean, what's the purpose of debates? I will write to you that you defeated me, and we can save some time. I will do my chanting. Yeah, sure, but you have to write also that Lord is the absolute truth is impersonal. The form of the Lord is Maya. Scriptures are also Maya. Like that, he said different Mayavadi postulates. Ramanujacharya can't agree to that, obviously. So he had to debate. And this person is a very scholarly person. He was so scholarly that Ramanujacharya couldn't defeat him for 17 days. And he also, Yajna Murthy could also defeat him, but Ramanujacharya could also not defeat him. So Ramanujacharya was very, because it's very important to defeat Mayavad. As you see in the lives of Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta, it's like it's considered the last snare of Maya. Even if a person is completely detached from so-called material attachments and bondage, one can still think that he is God and remain in Maya. So it's very important to free that conception. And this Digvijay Pandit is allowed to be a Mayavadi. It doesn't work out like that. So he went to his personal deity. He's called Devaraj, king of Devas, and prayed to the deity Devaraj how to defeat him and all. So Devaraj, I'm not sure whether it's in a dream or personally appeared, but basically told, don't worry, you will defeat him tomorrow. So Ramanujacharya went with confidence, and Yajnamurti saw him. He said, yesterday we were both despondent that we couldn't defeat each other, and today you're so humble, you're so effulgent, and you're so blissful. What's the secret? I mean, he didn't say all this. He was thinking like this, that this person must be someone really special. His body is emanating this glow. He just said, Yajnamurti got convinced in his heart that what I'm speaking is just dry logic, and he actually has a real substance. That's why he is like this. And there was no debate. Yajnamurti just said, I surrender to you, please accept me as your disciple. Just like that. So Yajnamurti was appropriately named Devaraj Muni. He's a Muni because he likes to debate, and it's Devaraj, the deity that personally convinced him in the form of Paramatma. So Devaraj Muni was later like four men came to Ramanujacharya for guidance, and this man was sent to Devaraj Muni. So to cut short, Devaraj Muni was very cautious. He was like, I mean, why are you doing this to me? I'm very proud and I'm very puffed up. If I do this, it's not good for me. I should be humble. I don't want to do this. Is this a test? And Ramanujacharya told, it's a test, yes. now I'm convinced, so just remain with me doing some humble service all your life. That's how Ramanujacharya trained his disciples. And another aspect Ramanujacharya stressed a lot in his life is being a servant of servant. Once Nam Alvar, Alvars are other Sri Vaishnava saints, that wrote great poetry glorifying Krishna. And in this particular time, he was glorifying Krishna in the form of Lord Balaji. And he was glorifying how Lord Balaji Vishnu on this earth, is decorated with beautiful flowers. So Ramanujacharya suddenly got inspired. Hey, I should send one of my disciples to have a garden there and set up this regular service of sending flowers to Balaji. So he asked, oh, who is ready? No one was ready. It's like Ramacharya is giving lectures every day and Vaishnava scriptures. Everyone is happy taking his association. Who wants to go? But there's a disciple called Anantacharya who went there. So his life is full of such disciples. Like Anantacharya is one. Kuresh. If I speak about Kuresh, it will take 2-3 days. Ramesh, I think Ramamara speaks for even more time. But he has a lot of disciples like that. So Anantacharya went there along with his wife. So Ramacharya one day wanted to visit him and also visit Lord Balaji in Tirupati. On the way, he was stopping at many places, and he stopped at a place called Ashta Sahasra. And like it happens, like when sannyasis come at some obscure place where there are no temples and all, they stay at Grihastha's place, right? In those days, there were no emails saying, hey, I'm coming, arrange everything for me. So Ramacharya sent two of his very ordinary disciples there were two people in Ashta Sahasra. One is Yagnesh, who is a very rich congregation disciple. He's extremely rich. And there is, his name is Yadavacharya, who is he meets his ends by day's labor. He is very much like a Vasudama Brahman. Yagnesh was ecstatic. He said, yeah, Ramacharya is coming to my house. I should treat with all respect and honor. And he then and there started making plans. I should buy this, get this kind of food. And he started ordering things on the phone. There's no phone, but he started telling his servants, get this, get that. And everything is said. So servants went to Ramacharya and said, yeah, Yagnesh is making all kinds of great arrangements. It will be very nice there. And Ramacharya asked, so how did they treat you? The servant said, actually, as soon as he heard the news, he was so elated that we weren't even offered any water. So Ramacharya was upset. This is not good. If they can't respect my servants, they can't respect me. I don't need to go to Yagnesh. Let me go to Yadavacharya's house. He didn't send anyone to Yadavacharya's house. He just went. And there they have Lakshmi, who is Yadavacharya's wife. And she was very happy. My Guru Maharaj came to my house with disciples like Dasharathi and Kuresh, who were all very exalted. She was so happy. But she is in a fix now because she didn't have anything to cook. She doesn't have any rice, any vegetables and nothing. Because it's very common practice for poor people of those days to just live on remnants and a little bit here and there that can't really be offered to guests. So she was like that. She didn't know what to do. So she sent all of them to go take bath in the river and come back. Just like Durvasa Muni went to take bath and came back to Ambarish. So it's a common custom. Go take bath in the river, wash yourself, and then in the meanwhile, I'll cook a feast for you. So this Lakshmi, she didn't know what to do. But she knows one thing, that serving Guru is more important than anything. It doesn't matter if I go to hell. It's important that I serve. So she went to a young man. I could describe it in more with emotions and all. But basically, this young man had a lot of lust in her for several years, but she being a chaste Vaishnavi, she just avoided him. But now my guru is there, this is an emergency, this is the only thing I could do. She said to the young man, arrange me enough bhoga, and tonight I will do whatever you want me to do. So she got the bhoga, she prepared the feast, she started serving everyone. Everyone is like very happy, and Yadavacharya came. He was happy at the same time perplexed. This is not my house. So she asked Lakshmi, what's going on? And she said, she said what transpired. And Yadavacharya was like, yeah, I mean, serving Guru is the most important thing in our life. That's fine. But they also told the Guru. At the end, it wasn't like, let me just patch up. So Ramacharya said, Ramacharya gave some leftovers from his plate to his disciples. Yeah, first eat this. they ate the maha maha prasadam. And then Ramanujacharya was also took back the prasadam and ate some maha 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 prasadam. And he told, give this to that person, the young boy, that young man you're talking to. And so Lakshmi went, and she was like, so the young man assumed she came for that, so, but she first fed this prasadam. The young man was transformed. So someone asked me recently, can you tell me some pastime of Maha Maha Prasadam? This is one example. Ramanujacharya had other pastimes of Maha Maha Prasadam. You can give a whole lecture on Ramanujacharya's pastimes with Maha Prasadam, but this is one of the pastimes where the young man gets transformed by heart just by eating his Maha 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 Maha. So when the young man became so transformed, and he asked, I don't have any desire for you now. What's going on? I used to be so lusty before for you, but I don't feel any lusty desire. In fact, my heart feels very devotional now. He said, yeah, this is the part of Ramanujacharya. He wants to meet you. He said, yeah, so he went and became a disciple of Ramanujacharya. Yeah, like that. So it's important to have a mood of service wherever we are. And we have so many stories in Bhagavatam, like Priyavrat. And we discussed the stories of Ramanujacharya. The main point is by serving Guru and by serving representatives of Krishna, we serve Krishna. It's important to be servant of servant. We hear that in relation to a lot of disciples like Prataparudra and Chaitanya and so many other disciples, that Krishna is more pleased when you serve his devotees and especially Guru. Because Guru is representative of Krishna himself. And when even Guru is pleased when you serve his other servants, then saying, having more face time. So yeah, I'm sorry it became a long lecture, but I wanted to speak something about Ramanujacharya. It's related to today's verse about Priyavrata and Grita Prastha. So any comments? Okay. Oh yeah. I had to read and share. I don't want to. I heard about Koresh several years back. It was in 2007 or so. This past time I heard before, but I heard again yesterday so that I could remember the details. But probably some other day. Or I can share you the link of Pranand Maharaj South India Yatra. It's a very big pastime. He's a devotee who actually went blind for the purpose of saving his guru. His guru was under threat, Ramanujacharya was under threat from a very envious king. So basically he disguised as Ramanujacharya, and that king, thinking he is Ramanujacharya, took away his eyes. That's a very extremely short version. But the details are also very heart-moving. These stories come from a different sampradaya, but the basic essence of guru-disciple relationship applies to everyone. So, any other comments? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
There's Brahmacharya Ishta Goshti downstairs now. How you go?